Blog Talk Radio.
Chidananda with the Love Channel. I want to welcome you tonight, and I hope that you can hear me good tonight. Last episode was really muffled and not clear, probably because I wasn't clear. So I just got a new phone after 2 months of not having an active phone, and I really feel good about it. I feel like it's a new energy. The week that just passed has been amazing. I really feel like I'm finally back in my own energy. And so if anybody's listening and they hear any blocks in the airwaves, please give me a holler. Either tell me through chat or raise your hand, and certainly I'll answer the call. We are beautiful no matter what anybody says, and that's a really powerful one. You know, when I hear songs, I really get the strong feeling of remembrance. Music to me is a lifeline to the spirit I am. And this song, I Am Beautiful, is so powerful for me because my entire life was being about not good enough, not feeling great enough, not feeling beautiful enough. And I look at this picture that's on my Ananda of Love page, a recent picture of me, a selfie, whatever they call it, they call it selfies. And I look at it and I say, my God, what a beautiful woman, you know, what a beautiful structured female. And nothing really changed because I really was always a beautiful structured female. But I didn't know it. I really didn't know it. I was told that I wasn't good enough. I was told I wasn't pretty. I was told I wasn't beautiful. I was told I wasn't capable. I was told I was nothing really. And throughout my evolution of being, I blossomed into this beautiful woman. With the help of a few of myself that showed up that just reaffirmed for me what I had been given as a out-picturing of God himself, herself, as we all are. And anyway, so this morning I had a very strong knowing. Actually, I was speaking it when I woke up. And the last couple of days have been like that. I feel like when I connect with that love nature that's within me, the union, the sacred union that I've been so blessed to have recapitulated maybe in my life. When I reconnect on the spiritual end of it, which happens frequently, but the last week has been amazing, guidance comes forth. And guidance that's so purely beautiful. And so I woke up with what I shared today on my Facebook, and I think I'm going to share that here, bits of it, and see what comes forth, because I was actually speaking every thought and feeling we have actually designs our body and our relative world. And this is nothing new. This is what I've been living and teaching and feeling and assimilating for a very long time. But this morning was so powerfully structured in me, through me, at me, that I couldn't deny it. And so at work, what I did is I just said, excuse me, to the person that I work with. I said, I need some time because I really feel something coming forth that I have to bring forth. And I got one version, and then all of a sudden, it didn't happen. I said, you know, I got to do this again. And so I said, every thought and feeling we have actually designed our body and our relative world. Accidents are not by choice. We put ourselves where we feel we belong in every moment by the feeling tone of our being. Very powerful. For such a long time in my life, I put myself in circumstances that were not congruent with the power that be within me. I put myself in a subservient position to the opinions of mostly the males in my life. And I acted accordingly. And that accordingly brought situations to me that were not congruent with a beautiful, receptive female experience. And though I had them, I had amazing things that happened in my life. Things that I tell you, I feel so blessed in this present moment because I've received so much of dreams being realized without even making any effort other than to stay in the energy of knowing that all I could have, really, I just had to accept. And as I accepted, it came to be. So for me, it had been a truth that was constant no matter how many males in my life, and it was mostly males that wanted to take either my power or bring me down, or because of my power became defensive or arrogant or combative in me, through me, at me. And it was a really hard road. And even this last 2 months being in this new beautiful reality that I'm in, that I was given from the aspect of me that I call really my male, my son, Anthony, who really is an aspect of me that is so purely connected to the true sense of my heart, gentleman, a Buddha man, creative beyond measure, a visionary. He gave me this gift and it really threw me in the water because I had been so in need of some kind of something to substantiate myself in this last year that I've experienced. And he said, I want you to do this, but you got to do it. You have to do it. And so the first month and a half, I mean, it was really to me like a war zone, personal Armageddon, where I was fighting with the male within. to sustain my power, to be okay as the male female, the sacred union within myself outpictured. And I finally feel the last 3 days that something helped me feel okay about being okay without a partner, without a male existence, without the male giving me the good and the evil, because I always got everything as a female, you know, as far as being taken care of with security, with the financial security, but I didn't get the emotional reward of being the female. Anyway, so this whole concept of every thought and feeling is actually designing my reality. So most of my life I had issues. I mean, I didn't feel good. I had gallbladder problems. I had always falling, always hurting myself, always losing things. I heard from the time I was a little girl, you know, you're always losing everything, or you're, you know, good with money. You're terrible with money. You don't know how to spend. You always spend it, you know, whatever, whatever. And so I always heard a negative tone in my reality, which is an out picture of something I brought in this reality. So I'm not a victim of circumstances, but for a while I believed I was. And because I believed I was, I brought forth scenarios to help me work through those issues. So anyway, so that's what I said with what I just shared, is that all our thoughts and feelings actually design our body and our relative world. Accidents are not by chance. But people say, well, you know, I had a car accident. It wasn't about me. They hit me. Or, you know, I fell and I broke. You know, when I first started this new life 2 months ago, I walked into the restaurant and I fell flat on my face. I mean, my knees cracked. I had both my wrists, which my fingers are not even normal. They look like they're all crazy. I fell to brace myself, and both my hands were black. They were black. And my leg was ridiculously swollen, my left leg, and my right leg was ripped apart. And I went to work, and it's been 2 months. And about a week ago, I felt a puff in my left knee, and I said, oh, my God. You know, I wasn't even in pain, but I see that it's coming to a head. So my left movement, my left physical movement of the female, receptive female energy, is finally healing. And with that, I just kissed it and embraced it and loved it. And now whatever was there is gone. It was itchy, so I knew it was healing. And I didn't even know that there was any. I thought the knee was broken. I mean, you couldn't imagine the sound and what had occurred. And I just acted as if it was fine. And I knew that the structure of my being was so insecure for the last 2 months, thinking that, oh, my God, how am I going to do this? You know, I'm the scapegoat. I'm the one that the mommy that doesn't work. You know, the daughter that needs daddy because she's so used to men taking care of her financially. Anyway, so and I looked and it's like, you know, it's a little, when I touched, a little sensitive, but the female sensitive, she's feeling a little frightened about this new reality. She's still not sure that she can be her own power source, you know. And my son, in the process of this, because, you know, he's the only one that I have really to communicate with, because he's really close to my understanding. Recently he said, you know, I've been in your life for a lot of years, and my life with you, Mom, is different than my brother's, because you are very spiritual, and I went to all the seminars and the churches and the Course in Miracles with you. And I finally believe what you teach, that I am the maker of my world. And you need to transcend the limitations of your mind that says the body is weak and you're older and you're a girl and you're whatever. And it was so powerful because it really brought me to a sense of understanding that finally I'm validating or confirming what I've been telling the world for 20 years. My son, the children are our best teachers. My son is saying, Mommy, I got it. Now you got to just don't waste your life because you've taught me this and I finally got it. Don't lose it. Don't lose what you've given the world. So evolution of consciousness. So then I say the translation throughout, the Christ said that the Father inhabits many mansions, and the translation throughout the mindset of time has lost most of its master's meaning. He said we are all gods, and certainly as we think, so it be. The thoughts that we allow to take resonance in our being actually activate the corresponding cells in our body and our world so that there be no doubt that what we ask, we do receive. What I assume, which I've shared over and over again, but I really see it. I don't do television, which I share all the time. I haven't done it for years. I do serious radio because there's hardly any commercials, and if there's commercials, it's only about what I want to hear, about the theme of the show that I'm listening to, or the show, or the stars that are on it. I come home to complete silence. I bathe, I work, I serve now in the highest, because I know that I'm giving love through my food, and everybody's receiving it as if they're really receiving the glory of God. The things that I hear, the excitement of being in that place, and the food, and this is what I hear, it's amazing. I mean, this is what I hear all day long. It's so amazing. This is absolutely amazing. What I'm eating now is beyond what I've ever had before. And, of course, it's me telling me that I'm in the right place finally. And it's not the structure of the restaurant or the people that are there. It's me saying, you know what, you're doing what you love to do. You're feeding people in the most gracious way, and making everyone that walks in that restaurant feel that they're loved. You know, they're angels, they're lovely, they're darlings, they're beautiful, they're sweethearts, and they are. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a reflection that is so clearly reflective of what I've come to realize in my heart. So anyway, he says that we are all God. So in my understanding, when I connect to the power that be in me and allow it to assume its state of mastery in me, through me, at me, I do then become the receptive female, and the male within takes the reins. The God I am knows exactly what is right for my kingdom. So I don't have any idea, never did my whole life, about attainment. It's just a man comes in, I'm married. A house comes in, it's mine. You know, a doctor shows up, I get reconstructive surgery because that's what I need to do to look beautiful in my perceptual, silly mind. But it's not even the me that's the female or the little girl or the woman or the mother or the girlfriend or the woman that's in love. It's just an understanding that this is the formation of an essence that desires to be born through me. And so I look at my world, I look out of my world, and I see aspects of me representing a cell in my being. Each person in my perceptual reality, in the witness perspective, is absolutely reflecting something in me. And if I assume any kind of resistance with that part of me and dance divine dance with that aspect of me, I am paying attention to that cellular activity in my physical body and my perceptual body of work, my world, and it will come to life in me, through me, at me. I've been so caught up for the last 2.5 months in what I've been doing. No spirituality, no books, no anything, just being completely in servitude and in a mindset of love. And now I feel for the first time in a very long time a clear understanding that everything comes at me exactly the way I feel about me. So we go on and we say in this, we do about the activate the corresponding cells in our body and world so that there be no doubt that we ask, we do receive. Quantum computers, we all offer. Nothing cannot be made manifest without a direction. Nothing can come at us. Disease, violation, abuse, ruin, shame, without our direction. We absolutely direct the field. Bring forth anything and everything that we feel about ourselves. And our opinions of others is absolutely a reflection of what we feel about ourselves. We project on the other what we feel about ourselves. We torment ourselves with our own thinking, our own insecurities, our own fears. And so then we turn our head and there's the attacker, or there's the disease, or there's the violator, or there's the accident, or there's the storm, or there's the ruin on whatever level. All right, so then I go on to say that disease is the offspring of self-condemnation and insecurity. One who lives in victim mindset will bring forth that which validates the feelings related to that which is bringing him down. So what I feel about me is made known in my work. The evolution of consciousness, you start seeing, and again, this is nothing new in the spiritual community, you hear this over and over again, you start seeing parts of you leave. And you start realizing, oh my God, that's gone. And many times when that happens, we freak out and we start reaching for that which is gone. But that which is gone is leaving because it's not part of us anymore. That abuser cell. And that's why I think it just comes to mind as I'm saying cell is the concept of the that's been happening in the last decade of these cells in the world that are causing deceit and ruin and violence and terror. These terrorist cells. These terrorist cells reside in the mind of the perceiver. We are our own terrorists. And so every cell in our thinking, our feeling tone, is a cellular remembrance. It's like a ringtone. And when we play that ringtone or we play that voice tone, what would it be? A ringtone when somebody calls, you get that funky ringtone for that person and that person and that person. I mean, I haven't done that yet, but those tones are absolutely representative of a memory of that aspect of you. And such a beautiful example of what we are experiencing in every moment. Our jobs, our physical bodies, our locations that we live in, our geographical or financial situations, our health, our relationships are all based on what we feel about ourselves. So disease is the offspring of self-condemnation and insecurity. Every part of the body is a representative of what we feel about the self. And so we come into that, you know, well, people would say, well, you know what? What about somebody who's born, a child who's born with you know, some kind of mental defect or emotional defect or physical defect? They're a spirit. Spirit, they're an essence of being, being brought forth that mother who has those tendencies of feeling insecure or feeling self-condemnation. She brings forth in representative of herself to mirror that which she's hiding from herself, and that would be, of course, the shadow that we talk about a lot. But the shadow is this world. The shadow is the reflections of everything in our world that's taking us away from the kingdom of heaven. Computer viruses are rampant in the world because one knows not the power that resides within them literally that makes manifest everything. So we go into a situation, we turn on the computer, and all of a sudden there's a virus, and it's attacking everything on our computer. It's bringing everything on our computer to a still point. It's giving us an opportunity to be conscious and say, wait a second, do you understand that you're allowing all of this to take power over you? That it's almost like you're being tied up. In the tarot deck, there's a card. I think it's the Ten of Swords or the Nine of Swords, where there's a woman, and around the woman are swords. And those swords are representative of all the cells that are keeping us of imprisonment, self-imposed imprisonment. And the next card is laying face down, the Ten of Swords, where the knives are now in the body. And that's those two cards just comes to me is a perfect representative of an unconscious state of being. And swords are air, so that the visionary, the intellect, the imagination is becoming subservient to the attackers, to the violators, to the victim mentality. And so eventually, at first it's encapsulated or actually it's completely imprisoned by these parts of the self, this mindset that brought it so desperately to a point of such violation of self. And then it stays there rather than making an effort to move past it. And then finally the sword becomes the killer of the person, and it's laying face down with no place to go, nothing to do. In a sense, I'm glad that I'm talking out loud here, and I don't feel like there's any callers, and I'm glad about that because I really feel like I needed to say this out loud and keep it on air for people that come by and just need to listen to this, because, again, this is very, very beyond what most parts of the world that I'm living in anyway can comprehend on any level. So that when we think about the computer virus, we can think about the mind as the computer, and that every thought that we allow to take resonance actually becomes our God. And that's why, you know, in many of the spiritual teachings, we are told to still the mind, because we really can't get a clear state of Godhood until we allow ourselves to be still and know that God is in charge. And God is not about this world. God is about a power that takes us through this world as if it's a amusement park. Of course, the miracles calls it the happy dream, where we know without a shadow of a doubt that we are the masters of our universe. Not me alone. Every part of this mind that I live in has a power in itself to control me. Or me control me. God, I am controlling me. The God that I am controlling me, or my belief systems controlling me. And in truth, when I look out and I look at my friend, or I look at my enemy, or I look at my lover, or I look at my father, I look at my children, I look at my body, I could either rise above it as Jesus did in the resurrection and say, I am the God that I am the spirit I am love. Or I can become a plaything for those aspects of me that are just belief systems. And if I allow myself to buy into those belief systems, I then become subservient to those ideas. I sit with people on occasion, very rarely now, but I'll walk into a store and a Barnes & Noble, which I used to do a lot, and I just go in for a little bit just to take a breather. And it's the same old parts of me. I'm sick. I can't breathe. Conspiracy. Politics. And nothing about that world changes, because it's really aspects of me that are just falling to the wayside. They're not really real. They're just aspects of the mind that are calling me into a belief system, many belief systems that I've always held as baggage. Well, today I'll spend the day with disease. Today I'll spend the day with fear. Today I'll spend the day with lack. Today I'll spend the day with insecurity, abuse, whatever. And it's very powerful because I really feel it in every part of my being this day. So it says that in the collective unconscious most reside, playing the parts handed them, questioning not that which feels uncomfortable for the programmed mind to conceive. So if the mind is told, wow, new, immediately there'll be all kinds of distractors, interference patterns that'll say, oh no, that's not good. Oh no, she's going to do this. Oh no. That's that. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Until she says, I'm giving up. And I tell you over and over again the last 2.5 months, there were so many times that I almost gave up, went back to the illusion of suffering, because I was so afraid of being self-mutilated by this experience. These males that show up that are bullies, you can't do it like I can. Don't order me around. You can't have what you want. You're not good enough. Who do you think you are? You're shit. You're nothing. You're bad. And I am so completely, thank you for helping me. thank you, thank you, thank you. You're wonderful. You're an angel. You're a savior. You're a hero. Really? Those are aspects of the male that can't accept their own glory, that can't accept the female's compliment, cannot be equal enough to a female, that they have to stay away. And I thank you, because that part of the male aspect of the world that I've created is not about union. They're about aloneness. They're about their own ego. They're about themselves. They're about staying free of union, of dancing, of harmony, of the balance of being. So my son shows up again, and he says, okay, now I'm ready to join. How can I help you? You're doing absolutely beautiful. I am so proud of you. You know who you are. Can you see it now? And then we dance together, and we dance in equality. There's no better, there's no lesser, there's no good guy, there's no bad guy. I'm seeing the male in the out picture for the first time, dancing the dance with no need for anything but just dancing. Dancing. That's beautiful. All right, so then Christ said, awaken those that still sleep. This morning, again, I was awakened, and I have come this day to stir the pot of consciousness. You are the master of the perceptual universe, known or unbeknownst to you. And then I shared, be conscious, my brethren. Make known renewal this day. Be loved. Share the love with your cellular structure, your body, and your body of work, your world. I love you. For you show me how close I am to heaven while here on earth. Everything in our perceptual world mirrors for us exactly what we feel about ourselves. There is absolutely nothing that we can't change. There's no disease that has any power but the power we give it. There is no person that has any power but the power we give it. There is no weather condition that has any power but the power we give it. And the more that we understand this, the more we can see change in our world. You know, there's been so much talk in the perceptual world that I live in about change. And I've spent so many hours with people over the last 20 years, most of my life. I mean, today, people, and I say this all the time, but still, I can go out for dinner and the waitress calls me mama. Everywhere I go, I've heard that, me, that really knows that she is the mama, that she is the love, that she is the power, that she is the maternal force in reality. And that in my presence, it's very hard to be what you're not. It's very hard to not be powerful. And that is very scary for aspects of the self that have come on your stage to show you that they're not, to show you that they want nothing but to bring you down, because that's what you told them that they had to do. This is such a powerful teaching. This is such a powerful knowing. I've been so blessed in consciousness, because I can't tell you how clear it is to me that everything that occurs, I ask to occur. Everything that I see is clearly representative of something in me. And whether I celebrate it or dismiss it or embrace it or reject it, it doesn't matter. It's still going to be there. I'm still going to be in love, no matter who wants that love or not. No matter how many aspects of me show up and say, nope, I can't love you back. I'm your enemy. I'm still going to love them. Because if I don't, I'm not being true to myself. I'm not being true to the God I am. My love is constant. People ask me about the tattoo on my chest, and it's really hard, because where I work in a really prestigious concept called Stuart, Florida, where there's a lot of very conservative and wealthy people, you know. And they asked me about it, and I said, you know, it's Abba, the love of the Father, and Ananda, which is the bliss of being, and that is my conscious decision in every moment, to be love, to be peace, to be joy. I really feel like something happened. Something so big happened in me in the last couple of days, and of course it's nothing that really happened because it was always there, always is, always will be, and somehow or another I allowed myself to assume that state now and to love him anyway, to love my physical body anyway, to love my surroundings anyway, to love my enemies anyway, because I know that every aspect of my being wants nothing more than to bring me home to God. I think that is time, space. It's a here and now knowing that God is I am. God is I am. It's an out-breath and an in-breath, an in-breath, out-breath. God is ground. God is I am. It's the out-breath. I breathe freely because God is I am. What is God? God is beyond what I could ever begin to express. Infinite experience. God is experience itself. So who am I to judge that part of me that's not congruent with love, who's only about insecurity, that's only about fear, that's only about demise, that's only about poverty, that's always only about sickness? I know it's just experience in me, through me, at me, showing me the potential of that less than my being. If I choose to go in any direction, there it is. All I need to do is put my attention on it, and it blossoms. Disease blossoms. Love blossoms. Money blossoms. Poverty blossoms. All I need to do is direct the attention in that course of the realm of being, and there it is. It actually formulates itself. It structures itself according to the dictates of my own belief mind, my belief system. My patterns of belief dictate everything I am to see. I felt like a victim. I felt rejected. I felt abandoned. I felt hopeless. I felt helpless. I felt alone. I felt scared. I felt shamed. But I felt. I allowed myself the experience of fully actualizing every feeling that wanted to be known through me. I let it breathe freely through me. I watch things occur in the physical world, and I say, oh my God, is that magnificent? How I knew without a shadow of a doubt that that was going to take reign in my life. That was going to be made manifest in my life. Oh my God, that was going to show up. That was going to call. That sound was going to play. I am so clearly aware that it's I am is my experience. I love so much. I love so much and feel so valued by that love that resides within me. I know that I can trigger bliss in every cell of my being. I saw a show the other night, really briefly, while I was in bed, on this woman who teaches sexual fulfillment. And I said, oh my God, you know, it's not about the orgasm. It's about sustaining the bliss. It's about letting your body and your body of work, your world, feel what it's like to be loved.
Why would I not tell you I love you if I love you? Why would I hold that back? Why would I make you wonder how I feel? Because if I make you wonder, my body's in agony. If I make you not know how beautiful you are to me, I'm devaluing me. Because my truth is about loving you. And it doesn't matter what you feel, because in truth, you're just me. You're just me. Where do I want to put my attention? Do I want to put my attention on the abuser? Or I want to put my attention on the lover? It's a choice for me. But the more that I put myself where I want to be, the more what I don't want to be dissipates. And not that it goes anywhere, really, but it doesn't play a part in my present moment. And, yeah, maybe I'll get an irritation in my back, or I'll just get somebody to talk behind my back, or something will happen that's in the past or behind me, which is really not a time space behind, but it is about not being present with me, and I'll hear it two people removed, maybe three people removed. It won't be consciously at me. But why would I not love you completely when love is the only thing that brings me life? Why would I allow myself to dwell in that which is not congruent with the peace and the love I am? Why would I stay in an environment that is not about loving me? Why would I stay in a job that's not about loving me? Why would I stay in a relationship that's not about loving me? And all of that is happening within. Because there is no outside. It's all happening here and now, within. So we put ourselves in a compartment called job, in a compartment called relationship, a compartment called disease, a compartment called health, a compartment called money, whatever, 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 infinite experience / God, same thing. Why would we choose anything less than what is fulfilling? So I put all my love into what I'm doing now. My lover is me. Out pictured at me, showing me exactly how divine it is to be in love. And I will completely love him anyway. I will completely love her anyway. I will completely love my surroundings anyway. Because the more that I stay in the love environment, within, the more the love environment will just blossom into the garden of earthly delights where I'll experience the happy dream. It's so divine to remember that God is I am, that love is I am. I never dreamed that I would be as alone as I am now in the world of opposites. There is so much duality in my perceptual world. There are so many perceptual others. And there is nothing but a small little group of cells that are mirroring possibilities in my reality. And none of them are triggering a response other than a conscious mind that says, no, that's not it. Not it. That's where not I desire to put my attention. I want to put it on the lover. I want to put it on the sacred union. I want to put it on the completion of my being loved. I feel so loved. I had a moment that triggered such love. It always came, but I never accepted it. I finally accepted love. I finally said, yes, you are loved, and I died, and I was reborn in that moment. And there is nothing I need to but remember that moment in every perceptual waking hour. Nothing I need to do, nowhere I need to go, So I dance with it. I work with it. I bathe with it. I sleep with it. I wake with it. Because every one of my cells are dancing a divine dance. I picked up Dante and Beatrice, the Divine Comedy, as I was leaving the bookstore. And I said, oh, my God, look at this. Right in my face. Dante and Beatrice, the lovers of lovers, the divine union. I've been born through that, reborn with that union. And I know there is nothing more to do, nothing more to attain. Just dance. Dance the dance of divine knowing that I am loved. Loved. It's not about being, it's not about loving anymore. I've always loved. But I now am loved. And that's the closest I can come to the God experience, because God is really the bestower of love. The aspect of all is loving me. And he showed up as a male. And that male awakened the spirit of love to a point that there's nothing else. Nothing else. I feel, you know, I used to hear over and over again, and being in a very rich community for a lot of years, and hearing, you know, I've got everything and it's not enough. I had $1 million, I lost it. I made $1 million, I lost it. And now I'm going for another $1 million. And I'm thinking, oh my God, they don't even have a clue. Those aspects of me that triggered a money response, a financial, you know, experience of wealth in me response. I am rich beyond measure. I know that I'm loved. And so many aspects of me try to show me that, and I did not get it. Be loved. Allow the self to be loved, because that is the healer. Physician, heal thyself. Die into love. What is love? Love is the acceptance of experience to the max. That orgasm, that peak moment is sustainable. Oh, there's bumps and bruises in this reality. You know, if you don't have the good, you don't the bad, you don't have the good. No. Awakening is not about a continual state of awe. It is about an everlasting buzz of bliss. It's a death of birth, a death of birth, a death of birth, a death of birth in every moment. But it's not about the negative. It's about the sustaining of the bliss. And all these tantric concepts and all these aspects of the self that want to trigger the sexual movement of being as the orgasmic. Yes, it's a wonderful activator. It's a wonderful state of remembrance. It's a wonderful trigger. But it's only happening in the mind. There is no physical movement. There is no physical. So that's where I am right now, and I really felt I wanted to share this out loud for me, as I always say. Whoever's meant to taste this dance that I'm experiencing tonight, to sing this song that I'm singing, will, you know, those aspects of the self that are awakening as I am, awakening into completion. And completion isn't finality. It's not about the end. It's about the attainment of bliss. It's about the Ananda, the Abba Ananda. Loving God brings me bliss. God is I am. There is no other. God is all. God is. God is negative. God is positive. God is neutral. God is everything. Once I got that, I choose bliss. I choose Ananda. Ananda is the harbinger of change. Nothing that comes in my presence is at peace without surrender. Surrender to Ananda, surrender to bliss, surrender to the love I am. When you got it, you're good. Kick and scream. Kick and scream is all about rebellion. Rebellion is about fear. Fear is about submission. And eventually you become the Nine of Swords. And then eventually the Ten of Swords. And then you come back again. And again, and again, and again, and again. I met a lady in the restaurant who sits there. And I just found out she's a very successful business owner. In a very plain little outfit with a little hair, you know, nothing, no makeup. And she has a little hamburger, a little hot dog, and she talks about, you know, afterlife, quantum physics. She just talks about what I've come to realize, and she's not coming back again because she knows she's got it. Perfect representative of what I feel. But it's not about coming back again because I'm not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. We're just experiencers. And my choice is to experience bliss. I've had many, we all are God. So we've had every right to experience everything. And so my little sharing today is so profoundly awesome because once you've seen it all, you start to realize that, oh my God, I can really do this in a different way. I could play with this clay in a different way. You know, I could actually take this clay and remold it. I don't have to as a gargoyle. I can make it an angel. I could do whatever I want. The power is, no matter who, we are all gods of our universes. You are the master of the universe. Everything you ask for, you receive. Asking has nothing to do with verbiage. There's a feeling, there's a song that you sing that resonates. And tingles and echoes and dances and sings out that which you desire to have. Like the concept of the man with the flute. What was he? I don't know what I can't remember him, what he was called. Oh, the Pied Piper. He's playing his tune and he has the little children following him. He's playing his tune and he has the attackers following him. He's playing his tune and he has the abusers abusing him. He's playing his tune and he has the cancers eating him up. He's playing this tune. He's being terrorized by his own mind. What we put out, we get back. We are not victims unless we choose to be. I am the master of my world. What I see, I ask to see. I choose love. I choose peace. I choose bliss. Ananda, I am. I am Ananda of love. And he says, 10,000 armies can come upon me. But it doesn't matter how many cells of belief come through you, at you, trying to bring you into their region. You are in charge. You decide which region you want to inhabit, which state of being you want to explore. Because it's only an exploration. I feel really great tonight. Thank you. Thank you for all that choose to listen to this. Thank you for all that ripple out through me, at me, and share that with their own perceptual worlds, what I've come to realize in this beautiful divine day I call today. Dance. Love. Oh, my God. I am so in love. I am so in my true state of desire, which is to love and be loved. And there's nothing that will change that. Nothing and no one will take me from that because I've given it to myself. It's a choice to allow myself to be loved. We have about 4 minutes left, and I just want to say that the song about being beautiful, no matter what, being the delusion of not knowing that you are, and not let anyone take away who you are. Don't let any belief system inhabit your mind and your body and your physical reality. Stay true to you, knowing that you are beautiful. You're perfect. You are the master of your reality. You can change anything right here and right now. There's no effort. There is no doing. It's only about being. The state of being is I am. As I am is my experience. I miss my giggle. I want it so much back. So it has to come. You are loved. You are whole, wholly loved. You are God itself. You are love itself. Let not another moment take you away from that understanding. Because as you are loved, everyone in your world will feel that. Every cell in your body will dance that. How could you age knowing who you are? How could you be full, any kind of sickness, knowing you are love? Be still and know. Know only love. Still and know that you are the power that can change circumstances, that can raise the dead. Raise the dead. Take yourself out of that prison that you put yourself in. Be free. Be loved. Take yourself out of that cavern of fear, of doubt, of insecurity, of condemnation. Rise above it. My son said to me, rise above the bodily condition. They do not serve you. It does not serve you. Transcend the limitations of being a body that dwells in the belief of sickness. Jesus taught that. He transcended the body. He let the body go. And he says, you don't have to do this. I did it. I showed you it can be done. Now do it. Do it. Become the God I am. Dance. I love you. Be peace. Be loved. Good night.